The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Episode 194 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where pimp stands for permaculture is my passion. The only pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. So good to be here with you this Monday. This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Heaven's Harvest. 10% off with promo code PERMA. Remember, handle all your preparedness needs out there. Whatever you can't source, go check them out. Their seeds are balling. In fact, man, there's a video I really need to do about the seeds we got from them and what they're doing out in the Hyde Tunnel right now. If you'd like to listen to us on the Fountain app, you can check it out over there. You can listen to all your podcasts over there, even triple up the speed. And if you would like to tip a pimp, you can drop a derivation of Bitcoin called sats. So drop a SAT on a PIMP over there on the Fountain app. Really, is there anybody yet in this audience that doesn't know what PIMP stands for? Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty sure I say that. If I don't, I mean to every single program. But good night, man. The letters from people that are, oh my goodness, you're a pimp. I'm not listening anymore. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. I don't know how many different times I can say it. And also, it is a funny acronym, and it's meant to reach out. Well, it's really meant to reach out to everybody. I was talking to an older lady today on the phone, and she got a kick out of it once I explained what the acronym is. And do you have any idea how many people won't come on this show because it's called the Pimp Cast? And, yeah, I'm talking some serious medical experts out there that just won't get back to me. Yeah. How about that? So maybe they ought to check it out before you diss it, but I'm not changing the name. So it do what it do, in the words of a very, well, I wouldn't call him a wise ghetto philosopher, but you get the point. All right. So let's jump right into farm news. Well, we got the sheep off the side of the doggone mountain. And it's a good thing too, because we got a few, like three little ones that are limping around. And they're scuffed up on the right knee, and I can't figure out why. I have no idea why. The only thing I can figure is that while nursing, and they're getting kind of to the jumping off point of nursing, I'm guessing in the very rocky ground up there, they were probably getting their knees scuffed up, but they've been kind of limping around a little bit. We put some comfrey salve on it, and looks like they're getting better. But anyway, that was a job getting them off the side of that. Not so much moving the sheep, but moving the fence, y'all. I am telling you. Boy, this farming in the mountains, man. I tell you what, every time I visit somebody in the lower country, I'm not a jealous person by any stretch, never have been, but there is a little bit of envy that pops out every single time. But at the same time, it's also knowing that this has made me living here. So many people passed on this place because of its topography. People that I brought out were like, dude, are you serious, man? You really want to try to farm this? And it's been a challenge, but I got to say, man, it has made me a very, very, it makes me think about everything I do. It really does, because you got to be efficient when you work in this kind of environment. So if you want the beauty of the mountains of being this intimate, these mountains here are not like the Rockies. I love them all. In fact, it's amazing that I spent so much time of my life in flat places like Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, things like that, when I've always felt like I was just called to the mountains. But there is a payoff. I mean, when you in Colorado, for example, the mountains are more majestic. They're not as intimate as they are where I am. So, you know, you can find some flat ground, you can work with it, but the altitude is also going to suck a little bit. Right here, yeah, it's tough terrain, but you got to find the right dog to take to the hunt. And look, anyway, they're off the mountains. So, well, they're still on the mountain. It's just not as steep as the area we had them. So maybe on the next go round, which is probably going to be sometime in the winter when we hit that again, the little sheep, the ones that we keep, will definitely be more adapted. So that's what we're finding out also, is that these sheep, next time I get more stock, and I probably will at some point, I'm definitely going to find people that are closer to this environment. And Ben from Renewed Homestead kind of turned me on to a guy that's doing it, an Amish guy out there where he lives, because the adaptation to the forage for some of these guys from, okay, I got them down in Georgia, and then I brought them here, and then it's like they're rumen adapted, and then when I put them on the side of this mountain where things are not so plentiful and there's rougher stuff to eat, some of these guys, I could tell they weren't doing so well. And then being in the middle of nursing, of course, that's not going to help either, but that is not things I want. Those are not traits I want to keep. I want the ones who are doing extremely, extremely well. We're going to cover more of that in the main topic here today. So let's see what else we got going on. Oh, Michelle. So folks are probably wondering why the Homestead Honey hasn't been on the podcast in a while. Folks, I'll be honest with you. She's either spent beyond recognition at the end of the day, and I mean absolutely spent. She has chronic back problems thanks to the U.S. Army. And she struggles every single day. I'm telling y'all, that woman is as hard as 3 times 9. But she's out there right now weed eating, and I'm in here broadcasting. So I decided to do it early because I really don't want to give you guys the worst of what I have. I partially listened to the last episode, and I'm disappointed in myself because I'm not giving you – it's like this. I was talking to Mike the Fit Farmer about this. There's a book written by a guy named Josh Tolley. It's called Evangelpreneur. And he makes the case in that book and also in his podcast, if he still does it, that think about the way the structure's set up. Okay, so you go to work, and some of you may very well be driving to work as you're listening to me right now, or very well coming home, and you're going to definitely relate to what I'm about to say. Josh makes the point that when you get up in the morning, obviously, you know, you're charged up. You go to work and you give strangers the very best you have to offer. And then when you get home, the people you love get what's left over, and usually isn't a whole lot depending on the work you do. And even, well, if it's a job you're not crazy about or doesn't move you, I don't care who you are. If it's a desk job or if it's a construction job, whatever the job may be, you're wiped out when you get home. I don't care what the nature of that job is. And you're giving the people you love most the worst you have to offer. So I'm trying to do different with you guys, because I thank you so much for listening. And by the way, spread this thing around, because the powers that shouldn't be obviously don't want a lot of this stuff to get out. They don't want self-sufficiency out there. They don't want a lot of the stuff we talk about out there. So the number one way it's going to get out is if you pass it on. So think about that. I mean, like Josh Tolley says, you're giving the people you love the most the worst that you have to offer. So the solution in his book, well, there's a bunch of them, but the solution is to become, to a certain extent, an entrepreneur, or as he calls it, an evangelpreneur. There is a Christian focus on this book, but it is really, really good whether you're coming from a secular tradition or a Christian. It doesn't matter. The point has always stuck with me, and that's one of the prime reasons why I wanted to get out of just doing my regular 9-to-5 before. Plus, this is the work I love doing. And in fact, like I was telling Michelle the other day, you know, on a 12-hour union job, I would ordinarily take a lunch and 2 to maybe 3 breaks. We're working longer than that, and we take no breaks except to eat. That's about it. And half the time, I'm not even sitting down to eat. And that's got to change. So I'm trying to do that very thing, and I'm making her and myself do more of what Eric has always been on me about, was that people care, and it starts with yourself. It really does. So keep that in mind. So that's exactly why she hasn't been on here lately, is that she's just wiped out at the end of the day. Now, right now, it's about 4 o'clock. Usually I'm doing this by nine. It's usually dark and I can't work outside, eight or nine, somewhere thereabout. So right now I still got a lot in the tank, but when I'm done, I can go out there and put foot to butt on the weed eating. Who cares if I'm tired when I do that, you know? So speaking of the weed eating, the areas we're weed eating. Now, this is another little hack for a lot of you folks out there that are grazing. If you want, it's not absolutely necessary. Once your animals have been through, like right now, we got certain grasses with seed heads on it. Well, you want to keep this stuff vegetated if you can. So they're going to eat some of that. But remember, they're only eating a third. They're stomping a third, and then we're leaving a third. Now, if you want to enhance it and kick it up even more, folks, you can go behind with a weed eater and just knock those seed heads off. So that's one of the things, well, she's not doing, but I'm going to do before I get down there and help her in the orchard. Because in that orchard area, yeah, we have edge. Remember in permaculture, most of your action always happens on the edges where two mediums collide, whether it's your fence. You ever notice wherever your chain link is or wherever your boxes are that you grow things in? You ever notice that the grass touching those things always grows faster? Well, there's a reason for that. It's called the edge effect. And in that edge effect, that's exactly what we're dealing with down in the orchard. It's not a big deal. It's just something we got to deal with, maybe once a month when it gets out there, because we're not scalping this stuff, or at least we're not supposed to be. But we bring it down a little bit because the last thing you want to do in an environment like that is bring that stuff all the way down to the ground, which I think she was. You want to try to keep it high because you want to keep your soil cool. That is of profound value, believe me. And that happens in your mulch layer. It happens in your grass cover. It happens in a lot of different ways. So just keep in mind when you're out there doing that weed eating, you don't want to scalp this stuff, especially if it's going to be in a grazing or a growing system of any kind. You want to keep it down as, you know, where it's manageable, but you want it to be vegetative because every single time it's doing that, it's putting down exudates in the soil for the benefit of all these bugs, insects, beneficial insects out there. So before she got to weed eating, she was out there planting some of the flats that she had left over. And she does this every year. And it's a good thing to have is that she'll go out here, grow this stuff, and she'll plant so much that she's like, oh my goodness, what do I do with it? Well, it's not like we know a whole lot of people around here that could possibly use it. So she's finding little nooks and crannies to be able to put some of this stuff. So yeah, that's exactly what she was doing there. So needless to say, by the end of today, she is going to be absolutely spent and wiped out. So I got to tell y'all this. We were out there digging comfrey to fill some of the orders. And I want to thank everybody out there who's ordering this stuff from us. I know you can go to other people, but we literally, when you guys order it, we're out there picking it and it's out that same day or the following day. So unless you catch us on a Friday or Saturday or something like that, and it may be a Sunday, but we ship faster than anybody. And we take pride in the fact that we ship it fresh. I mean, when you get it, it's literally just a few days old. And we can't thank you enough for that. But y'all, check this out. There's a little phenomenon. I guess you can call it a phenomenon. I have never, when we're digging this comfrey, I have never in my life seen more earthworms ever. Now, why is that such a big deal? Now, you've probably heard me talk about it before, that everything a earthworm, if you don't know this, pay attention. Everything an earthworm either eats or touches is improved. I'm talking even by the skin of its body. It's improved. We saw so many earthworms out there, y'all. It was like, I can't even believe what I'm looking at. Now, let me explain to you why that's a really, really awesome and big deal. Well, first of all, the people that we got this place from, they sprayed every dewormer, every chemical you can possibly imagine. And the orchard is situated by the road, which was by far the most compacted place around here. We put, as you know, we put tons of mulch out there. We put in our guilds. And some things were a little bit difficult growing because it was such a hard pan there that we really were struggling at first taking root on certain things. But folks, I got to tell you, we got the comfrey. We're sitting here digging it out. And Michelle's devised this new way of being able to extract the comfrey and creating as little disturbance as possible. Before, William and I would go through there, and she's found a way of being able to get, we're going to hopefully bring that up, well, hopefully video it on Patreon, because it's really an awesome way of doing it and creating as little disturbance as possible. Well, as I'm digging it up, I'm telling her, I'm like, good night, Michelle. Look at all that fungal hypha through there. Look at all these worms. The reason why that's such a big deal is when you come, when you get down to soil and the soil life, your worms are actually one of your top predators. And most of us don't know that. So it starts off, some of the lower guys that we know of are bacteria and fungi. Those are some of your smallest. Then you have the protozoa, then you got your nematodes, and then on up, on up, on up. And then right at the top of that list, believe it or not, is the worms. Now there's a few others that are above the worm and everything, but that's the ones you can see. Folks, it's like this. You can't have in a African savanna a large pride of lions unless they got food to eat. So when you see worms out there and you see so many worms, it's making your head spin, you know that your soil is very alive. Look, folks, it's so alive that the cardboard I'm putting out there and the mulch on top of it, the cardboard is literally gone. Now, you don't have to, at this point of the growth, I don't need to put any cardboard down. I don't need any more mulch. I'm doing it mostly, if you see me doing it a lot of times around here, it's basically to inhibit the weed growth or to define the borders between the orchard and, let's say, the pasture, or I'm just trying to create some kind of division there because it's easier to harvest things like your strawberries and stuff like that. So, folks, I am absolutely floored. This soil is so alive, and cardboard is usually my barometer for that, just like Stefan Subkowiak taught me a long time ago, is that if you can put that cardboard down and you cover up some mulch and it's gone, if you go back and check it monthly and that stuff is gone in a month, your soil is so alive. And that's exactly what you want. Now, I could do a side-by-side comparison of the pasture next to it, next to where the orchard is, where we put tons and tons and tons of carbon out there. And folks, that area, the one I'm talking about, has only been a couple of years. This was exactly the same soil. When you dig down in there, you're looking at a level of soil taxonomy that is really unparalleled. It is really something else. So folks, I cannot stress it enough. Get that carbon on the soil. Do not cut your grass so low that you bake the soil, because your life underneath, those worms, the nematodes, protozoa, arthropods, bacteria, fungi, all those guys suffer every time you cut that grass low. Think about it. The only reason we even have lawns is because of Sir Francis Bacon. Okay. Some people actually suspect that he was Shakespeare. If you read his book, I had to read it in college. I remember it was called The Two Atlantises. Yeah, I think it was called The Two Atlantises. I can't remember, or something Atlantis. I read it long ago, but I can still remember the theme of the book. And basically, it was in a nutshell, it was rape nature and make it yield whatever you need. Well, it was so influential, and he was so influential, that all of the gardeners of that time, whether it was, well, all through Europe, in fact, primarily through France, those were the ones that really ran away with it. Instead of what you see in those beautiful, I mean, they're beautiful, I'll give you that, French gardens and a lot of these other English gardens and a lot of others of the contemporaries of that time, was basically man owning nature. It wasn't man working with nature. That's when the demarcation that we know of actually took place. That's when the whole lawn became something. Lawns were never, it was a royalty thing. It was never something the average Joe out there at that time would ever consider having. Well, it's been translated onto us, and that's why we have lawns instead of pastures. That's exactly the reason why, and that's where it all started. So anyway, y'all, keep your carbon on your soil. Don't mow your grass too far. And if you're using a weed eater, which I suggest because you can control it, I don't know of any mower that can keep it high enough. Anyway, if you're going to be out there grazing, man, weed eater is your best friend, or don't even worry about it at all. You can leave that third, and it's going to be just fine. It's going to recover. But if you want to increase it, you want to speed it up, knock those seed heads off. So that's really the what I'm trying to get at. Oh, so the weather around here, good night, man. Oh, dude, it has been something else. I mean, it's gotten cold over the last couple of days to the point where we actually put on the heater last night and the night before. And before then, it was like, I mean, in the morning where I have to put on sweatshirts again. It's crazy. But of course, there's that other phenomenon as well. It's like, I'm noticing, and Michelle is too, that every single time there's chemtrails or sprays or anything like that, that next day, y'all, we're dragging, and it's like you can't think right. Anxiety's through the roof, but every single day it's a blue sky, nothing. Absolutely feel wonderful, both of us. So whatever they're doing up there, man, I'm almost, there's a part of me wishing I moved to Tennessee, honestly. If I known they had this legislation, you know, and whether or not they're actually doing it, I don't know. But at least they went in and put the legislation in Tennessee to change all that. And if I ever get 2 minutes to rub together, I've really been mulling over the idea of doing it here in North Carolina, because it's really sickening what is happening. Because there is, it's not just cause and correlation, y'all. I'm seeing it, I'm feeling it, and the people around me are as well. So another, well, a way to get some of that stuff out of me, because the truth is, if you watch people like Dane Wigington and some of the others, geoengineeringwatch.org, man, when they test this stuff coming out of these planes, it's barium and aluminum salts. To put it together, B, you know, the names of these on the periodic table. So barium, BA, aluminum, AL, put them together, BAL. Correlation? I don't know. But what I do know is that we're breathing this stuff in, and then the latest figures are telling us that we're taking in the equivalent, dig this, of a credit card size of microplastics that we're consuming, whether through our breath or through our drinking water or through our food every week. Well, if that's happening, then first of all, it's dreadful. Second of all, I need to be coming up with ways, and you too, possibly, to chelate that stuff out of you. So I got a couple of products down there that I'm using, but one of the others that I started doing, and I got it from the Gerson therapy. It's a cancer therapy that they use on patients that follow the doctor that they demonized, a very effective doctor. His name was Gerson, excuse me, and a number of others out there that have done incredible work when in terms of cancer or chelating things out of your body. And then the powers that shouldn't be wouldn't want you to hear about those folks. Now, there's a number of ways you can go about it. One of them is doing coffee enemas. Yeah, it sounds crazy, right? But check out the Gerson therapy. They started doing that because they, during that therapy, they were realizing that the liver and the gallbladder were capturing so many toxins that people were initially dying from it until they found a way to, you know, get that stuff out of them. So that brings me to coffee enemas. And I got that. That's another one I got also from Dr. Ed Group. And Michelle and I have been doing them here for a couple of weeks, and I didn't want to say anything until I had a little week or two behind me. For her, it's been extraordinary. For me, you feel like you're carrying around less baggage. I won't get descriptive, but that's precisely what we're doing there. So that's another little thing we've added to it, in addition to the deep breathing, which, like I said, y'all, I do that religiously every morning and then midday and sometimes three times a day, like I did the other day. I think I did it three times a day last time I broadcasted. But folks, that's another thing we're adding to the repertoire. And that's primarily to chelate this stuff out or get your liver to dump all these toxins out of you. So another thing we're doing is whole body grounding. Michelle's religious about that. It is, folks, if she does any kind of treatment or pill or anything else, you better believe it works, because it is nearly impossible to get her to do anything like that. And I mean impossible. If she doesn't feel results right away, it's one of my biggest frustrations dealing with her sometimes, is if she doesn't feel immediate gratification in a lot of this stuff or in a couple of days, man, she just won't do it anymore. Well, that whole body grounding, when I first talked her into doing it, folks, I mean, she is doing it religiously now. I told you about her back problems. Every time she'll lay down on the ground with no shirt on, nobody be flying drones around here. She's completely fine in about 15 minutes. And a lot of other ailments. Go check out the work of Clint Ober. Clint Ober. He was the one that basically brought the whole grounding thing to the fore for all of us out there. And the people that are recovering from some pretty serious stuff is extraordinary. So, folks, you don't have to go out there. Redemption Shield is a sponsor of this show. I get it. But you don't need it if you have access to the ground. Some of you live in apartments. I mean, it may be wet outside. It may be cold. And like I said last time, I bought three more grounding mats for my own self. So I'm also a customer, y'all. I mean, I'm buying this stuff. So I'm a big believer in it. And Redemption Shield, remember, 10% off with promo code PERMA. But if you can get your way to the ground and lay your whole body out there, and it's better if you remove your clothing. So it, you know, you might want to be private or at least pick up part of it. Like in her case, you know, her lower back, when, you know, that's the part she'll expose. You expose the part to the ground that is in pain, folks. It works. get out there and do it. I mean, a lot of people with other serious ailments. I mean, as I'm broadcasting right now, there's a conference coming up called the Healing for the Ages Conference. I'm not going to be able to make it there in person, but I am going to do it virtually. And they were in there talking on Michael Jaco's program about the benefit of grounding and how, if you're messing with these electronic devices, folks, I'm telling you, if you are on a job where you're sitting in front of a computer all day, you have got to be grounding yourself. You'll notice a difference. It's better if you can do your feet, but if you have like a little pad, and they sell them at Redemption Shield where you can put your elbows, your arms on it, where you're constantly grounded. Well, Dr. Eves, one of the guys presenting at that conference, basically said that it's having all the negative EMFs and all the stuff coming off your computers and everything is basically having no effect or little at all if you are staying constantly grounded one way or another. And these mats, you can use them anywhere. So, so go check that stuff out. All right, coming up May 19th, Upstate South Carolina Homestead Gathering. Wish I could be there. I'm going to be at a knife sharpening class, but maybe I can catch the next one. So be there, be square, folks. Look, we've got to get our butts in gear when it comes to community. And I'm one of the big, look, I'm working so much and doing so much around here that I don't take time to breathe. And I really have got to do a better job of linking up with community. Even Ben and Denise down the road, man, they're like family to us, and I don't get with them often enough. So even if it's to go over there and help with a project or something, it's just good. It does your body good to be in the presence of other people, especially awake people and people who got sense. So that also always helps. All right, y'all, with that said, we're going to go straight into the good news. And I got some really good news here. So just wait for it. Wait for it. Check this out. MIT eliminates DEI statements from faculty hiring process because, quote, they don't work. How about that? You mean hiring people on the basis of their color and their sexual orientation doesn't work out? Maybe that's why all the Boeing jets are falling out of the flipping sky, because they're hiring, oh, we're going to make you an engineer because you're dressed in a tutu. Yeah, I mean, good night. Look, I think the table's going to turn on this whole DEI thing when it comes to women's sports. I mean, the women, honestly, I've talked about them many, many times before. It's the women that are standing up these days. Most of the guys have acquiesced that I'm aware of. There are some good guys out there doing things, but overwhelmingly, like when this whole thing came out with the jab, you know, I don't know how many female doctors there are out there, but I guarantee it's a fraction compared to the number of male doctors. How is it? Of all the ones that were speaking out there, there was disproportionately more the number of women than there were men. So anyway, I think that's how it's going to go down. I think the women are going to finally say, the girls, whether it was in that middle school I talked about a little while ago, or whether it's the women on the college campus, the ones in high school, I got a feeling this other shoe is going to drop. People are going to have enough when enough girls speak out. That's when it's actually going to happen. All right, so the next good news story. Check this out, y'all. I'm talking about this now. Pay attention here because I got a little different take on this, or I want something I want you to consider. I have something I want you to consider. So this one here, it's a op-ed written by a Jewish student at Columbia University. And he says, I'm a Jewish student at Columbia. Don't believe what you're being told about the campus anti-Semitism. Folks, I suspected this right from the beginning. I remember years ago, back when I was still working in radio at the time in Kansas City, and I was out there covering the Occupy Wall Street march. And I've talked about it before on the program. I was there when the people who showed up, all of a sudden it was a regular group that was that down there. To me, it was easy pickings, thinking I could turn these kids into freedom lovers. And I'd bring them food from time to time, hot dogs or whatever, and just try to get them, because they were rudderless. Anybody with any sense could see it. And then I was watching other people in the media going out there. They spent 5 minutes on the ground, and then they would get on the radio show and lie about what happened, or YouTube or Facebook. Well, back then it was more Facebook. And they would get on there, some of them very well-known people. I saw them there. They lied about what happened, or what didn't happen, rather. Anyway, they were going to have a march one day, and several people showed up to that march. They were all wearing masks, you know, like the Jesse James kind of bandana on their face, like from the nose down. And they showed up all of a sudden. Nobody had ever seen them before. Nobody knew who they were, but they were all together. As they were going down the street doing their march, these guys commenced to kick in the door fronts of all these businesses as they were marching. Somebody went over there, stripped off the mask on one of them, and then another person said, hey, that's the cop down in the plaza. And then all four of those guys did him out of there immediately. They were cops meant to be the FBI's version of COINTELPRO. They were planted in there to make the whole group look unfit. That was happening then. It was happening all the way back at the Civil Rights Movement. I mean, there's some seedy stuff as far back as, I mean, folks, the history pages are full. It's happened over and over again. Okay, now let's go to January 6th, where you have mostly people on the right out there protesting. What happened? Same exact thing. You had FBI plants that were there on the lawn, on the mall, that were out there doing all the violence. We know that for a fact now. And I'm telling you the very same thing. I've been meaning to say this for weeks, y'all, for weeks. And this college student out there is claiming the very same thing, that the people that are doing all this violence, there's people that are actually, remember, this is our First Amendment. Think about your First Amendment, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, the right to assemble peaceably and petition the government. It was going good. And then all of a sudden, we get all these people that are in there that are paid plants that are made to make the whole group look unfit. That's why you got to remove these masks. Anybody that shows up with a mask, you got to go. That's exactly how it works, folks. I've seen it over and over again. So here's the part that's blowing my mind, is that the people on the right are basically saying, yeah, arrest them all. Well, when January 6th happened, the people on the left were like, yeah, arrest them all. You're both being treated like fools, y'all. Remember, it's not red state, blue state. It's the state against you, and they're using you guys against each other. They're balkanizing this whole thing, and strangely, nobody can see it. We have record numbers. I mean, I still can't even get over what just happened in the House. They passed a bill to remove your First Amendment. Many of these so-called freedom-loving Republicans out there were chief among them. Now, we got to give a hat tip to the people of the Republicans and the Democrats. And by the way, there were more Democrats that said no than Republicans. How about that? So, folks, they're all against you. I mean, read the work of Carol Quigley, who wrote Tragedy and Hope, Bill Clinton's mentor. And it was never supposed to get out, but basically they write in there, Quigley writes, that basically, yeah, I'm okay. They basically are giving you a choice between Tide and Cheer, Coke and Pepsi. Either way, it's like a prostitute. I mean, you're being treated like a prostitute. The only thing that prostitute is really deciding is maybe which side of the bed they choose to be defiled. That's exactly, I mean, sorry to be so descriptive, but I really don't know how to describe it any other way that makes sense. But anyway, folks, stay alert, stay alive. If you're going to any of these protests, you see a bunch of people in masks, those are the evildoers. These are the people that were set there to destroy whatever it is you're protesting. They got a mask on, you got to go, you got to take pictures of them, you got to expose them if you're going to go there anyway. All right, so the last good news story, check this out. I've known this for a while, but I'm glad it's starting to see the light of day. And it's you can go to any, supply store for like a tractor supply or anything like that. And you can get things like ivermectin and fenbendazole. You know, I don't use them on the animals, but I use them on me. And I have been for a while, y'all. And every time I get a chance when I'm in there, I buy more of it. Check this out. Fenbendazole in cancer, at least 12 anti-cancer mechanisms of action. Not approved by the FDA. It's cheap, it's safe, and it kills aggressive cancers. So why no clinical trials? 9 research papers revealed. Now, in this article from Natural News, I mean, folks, it is astonishing, absolutely astonishing what fenbendazole alone, along with things like ivermectin, have done in these research studies. But nobody's doing it on humans. You tell me that's not criminal. You tell me that is not absolutely positively criminal. This is something over the counter you can get anywhere. And we can't do a study on humans to find out how this is working out. But you're able to go out there and jab everybody with this stuff. And folks, by the way, ivermectin, I'm not a doctor. I've got to preface this. I'm not a doctor. I know we got record numbers of turbo cancers and stuff like that out there. And people are having, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'm going to tell you, people are having that have taken that jab and have buyer's remorse now, they're actually defeating a lot of the negative side effects with things like fenbendazole and ivermectin. In fact, I think it was even, I talked about him last time, that Chris Cuomo, the guy from CNN. That's what he's treating his ailments with. How about that? So it was available the whole time. The powers that shouldn't be demonized it like nobody's business. And folks, you're going to have to be your own doctor these days. If you only knew how much time and effort I put into this sort of thing, researching this stuff, because I can't trust an MD. Not most of them. Most of them, and if you ask me how I know some of them very personally. And in some cases, they think, as I've always said, MD stands for medical deity. These are some of the, they may have more degrees than a thermometer, but ain't got no common sense. I remember having a doctor tell me once that what you eat does not matter. And taking extra vitamins does not matter. I'm like, well, you know, I didn't say this at the time, but later on I'm thinking, vitamin C doesn't matter. Well, how do you think they got scurvy back in the day? Folks, anyway, go out there, look for it. I mean, that article was actually at Natural News. You should be able to find it if you need to check it out. But folks, there's other healing modalities out there, things that prevent cancer altogether. It could be the ivermectin, could be fenbendazole, and some of these apricot seeds that I eat every day. I'm eating about 20 of them a day, and I'm going to have the guy on whose dad, one of those people that was actually out there curing cancer. His dad was out there curing cancer. I'm going to get him booked on the show. Not sure when that's going to happen, but I'm going to get him on here. And folks, I'm going to stay on this because I know people that have taken that jab. And I'm trying to do everything humanly possible to find a way to either chelate that junk out of them. And then even those of us that didn't, guess what? From the work of Dr. Anna Mihalchik, you got it in you. And one of the quickest ways to separate your blood, which is all caked up, is grounding. Didn't know that? Well, MDs ain't going to tell you for the most part. All right, with that said, y'all, let's go on to my favorite part of the show, my man, Eric.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, change is uncomfortable. Safety, security, and comfort are euphemisms for death. This was the opening lecture by Tom Brown Jr. at his wilderness survival school I attended 20 years ago. It has stuck with me ever since. It is an extreme statement, but we have taken the pursuit of comfort and convenience to extreme levels. If you follow Joe Dispenza, you know change is supposed to be uncomfortable. Your body is hardwired to maintain the current program, your behavior. That is why meditation can be so difficult. It is literally your body revolting against change. In the book, The Brain That Changes Itself, they talk about creating new neural pathways to bypass damage or to create new behaviors. Your current behaviors are like driving on a superhighway, and to create new ones, it's like hacking a path through the jungle with a machete. And if you don't keep clearing the path through repetition, it will just grow back until you've created a new superhighway in your brain. And the best lessons always come from uncomfortable situations. How many of us have created an echo chamber around us that simply reinforces our opinions? If you never have to debate your beliefs, how do you know you truly believe them? If you've ever not had the answer, that feeling of discomfort will motivate you to find those answers to back up your beliefs. Otherwise, you are just repeating someone else's words. We can't progress without change. Standing still is actually going backwards. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. And if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
That's my dog. Boy, you knocked it out of the park right there, Eric. Fact, bro, I need to reach out. We need to get you back on the show, bro. I always love having you on here. We don't do it often enough. So, folks, I mean, good night. I couldn't echo that even more. I'll tell you what, until I got into Dr. Joe Dispenza's work, I had no idea that this was even possible, that I could rewire the bad habits that I have. Had no idea that that was even possible. You just kind of, especially when you hit 50 or whatever age for a lot of people, you just kind of think, where I am. You have no idea that the way you react to people has the effect that it does. And then once you learn, you gain what Dispenza calls this awareness of the negative thoughts that enter your mind. All of a sudden, they don't slip your awareness with training, with practice, and with pain, just like Eric talked about, because it is very, very difficult for most people. It is absolutely excruciating to be there in utter silence and dealing with your own mind. But it gets easier. It's tough at first. In fact, when you start this thing, you're like, oh man, am I doing it right? Man, this sucks. I'm not sure. My brain was going all over the place. Folks, I put a lot of work into this. I really do. And I've even devised at this point my own little method that works for me. And I do it every single day. A lot of times when I'm standing in front of a red light therapy bed. And I'm going through this and I'm doing it my own way. And it's gotten much, much easier. At first, you find yourself having relapses, like he talked about using the machete through the jungle. You have these relapses. And then, you know, as you spend more time on that path and you're clearing a wider path, you know what? Your brain's starting to put down some concrete. Now those weeds don't come back so easily, but you still got to keep traveling. And folks, I've made, Michelle would even echo it, I have made extraordinary progress. Folks, if I had these tools years ago, I can't even begin to tell you how many mistakes I wouldn't have made in so many different ways had I had these tools. So put in the work. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, y'all. You have got to put in the work, starting with yourself. That's my dog right there. So, and by the way, I'm wearing one of his shirts, the Jeff Lawton shirt. So, yeah, go check him out over there, y'all. He's got the ball in this. I don't even wear my own shirts 90% of the time, y'all. I wear Eric's. In fact, I need to probably hook up with him and see if he can design a few for me. And, you know, he could keep all the money because, honestly, he's got the most conversation. When I was out there in Earthship, I would wear a different one of Eric's shirts every single day. And all those people were like, dude, that's an awesome shirt. That's an awesome shirt. Where do I get it? Where do I get it? He's got the best shirts out there, so ain't no sense in me making any because he's got the best, and I buy the best. All right, so before we get into it, y'all, EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. I've been a journeyman electrician, y'all, for, what, 27 years now, IBEW trained, and I've installed a lot of transient voltage surge suppressors all over this country, and there ain't a one out there that's even close, not even in the ballpark. Not even a moon cast shadow compared to EMP Shield, y'all. I'm dead serious. You don't need it to get, you're not going to use this thing to go to the club if something jumps off. You just need to get to your house or get to your bug out place. And then if you do put one on your house, which I highly recommend, it works also as a surge protector. So if you ever have a lightning strike and for some reason, find me another surge protector out there that offers this guarantee. If it gets past the EMP Shield and Kentucky Fries the stuff in your house, they're going to cover you for 25 G's. That's what I'm talking about. EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. All right. So the main topic here today is really inspired by one of my patrons. And he was asking me to talk about bees and specifically bees and what we do to keep them alive or, you know, what are the methods we go about doing it. But I was like, well, I'm going to cover more of that because a lot of it overlays. A lot of the methods we use for bees is exactly what we do for everything else, but there are different caveats, and it all comes down to the soil. So really what I'm trying to get in this podcast is how to get your animals to work without crutches. Okay, we talked about one of them earlier, like the people that were previously here, well, one of the crutches they were using was and it honestly, it just sets you way back, is dewormer. Folks, if you got an animal, you got a deworm, and it isn't like a house pet, like a dog or something like that. If you got to deworm this thing, then it shouldn't be on your property in the first place. That's my position. I'm going to tell you what I think. What you do with it is on you. Because remember what I was telling you in that earlier part about worms being the top predators in your soil? Well, every time you put that dewormer out, it's not just those little microscopic worms or, you know, macroscopic worms that are inside those dog or your sheep or cows, goats, whatever the case may be, especially goats, your sheep. When you put that dewormer out, it's killing your top predator. You're basically having a bunch of hunters go out in the wilderness and killing all your lions. That's exactly what's happening. So we want to avoid those things. And like Joel Salatin always told me before, is that he's not worried about breed. He's worried about phenotype. We're worried about animals that can do very well in where you are. So we have got our number one purpose is to get these animals out here without crutches and to keep those on our farm. Because if you don't, if you use your crutches, you're going to destroy everything. That's why I'm so reluctant. I'm very, very careful about where I get any manure from these days. Very careful about it. In the composting process, yeah, I'm going to tie a lot of that stuff up in medium and long chain carbonic acids, but it's going to be a long time before I'd even trust myself using it. So if it's not manure that I get here, I have got to know these people very, very well and be absolutely assured that there is no dewormer. Or you'll come across this one lady that had goats, and I'm like, I was out there to get chicken manure, and I'm like, oh, hold on a minute. She's got goats here. I'll bet a dollar. And she's in the city, ain't no way she ain't using dewormer. So I asked her about it. No, we just use natural dewormer. So I'm really suspicious. And then finally got it out of her that, oh, about a year ago or 6 months ago, whatever it was. Yeah, I used some other dewormer. So we want animals that, first of all, don't have to deal with that sort of thing. So let's start with the bees. Okay, the only thing we really do for our bees, and keep in mind, y'all, nearly everybody around us lost all of their bees last year. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying it's, you could, I didn't examine everything, but why didn't we? I guess you got to ask that. We did lose a couple of hives, but I expected that because the weak ones don't make it through the winter. They're going to be overtaken. They're not going to work out. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're letting these guys, first of all, we're not giving them any sugar water through the winter. They got to eat what they provided. So first of all, that's your first litmus test, okay, when it comes to the bees. As far as what we do for them, compost extract is it. And folks, that is for everybody. And the reason why I'm talking about the compost extract, if I go out there and I build a really great compost pile, and then I'm able to put it in the aqueous solution, and I've showed you how to do that on Patreon. If I can take that, put it in a sprayer, and get it out there, remember I talked about that soil food web? That soil food web. I'm putting out there all the beneficial stuff that I can put down in that soil. Well, a lot of times, the things that want to attack your bees, if you have a really strong hive, like we have some still from Texas, man, they have had zero problems. But the downside is they're so aggressive that when you go in there to get that honey, they are going to light you up. You're not going to go anywhere near that hive for the next week without a bee suit. So that's the double-edged sword. But the colonies that they've produced and we've captured have been extraordinary. The ones that have come from other places, not so extraordinary. So we basically don't give them any crutches. We leave them with their brood box through the winter. Okay, it's time to get loose or lost. So either you're going to make it here or you're not. I really wish I would have captured the bees that are up in the trees right now. Those bees have been up there 2 years in the trees. No box, no nothing, and they're still thriving. So they're up in a poplar right now, so I can't really get to them. So, you know, it is what it is. I ain't about to climb up a poplar. Oak. Possibly you need a snorkel lift and you're going to need one that can work on rough terrain to even get up there to get these guys. So anyway, that's in a nutshell what we do for bees. We don't do anything else. We don't put any mite treatment. We don't do anything else. We've had some in the past that have been wiped out by these, those moths. And we've had some wiped out by beetles. Okay. Who needs you anyway? I mean, I'm not trying to be flip about this. What I'm trying to get at is I'm not going to be out here babying anything. And I've talked about it in YouTube videos. I've talked about it probably on this show. I need the kind of animals in my life, the same kind of animals I need in my life, or the same kind of friends I want in my life. Ones that work like a food forest, where there's more output than what it requires. And I think they should require that of me as well. Shouldn't be a constant nag or anything else on them. And that's exactly how I look at it with the bees. I'm not saying people are not going to have problems, but if they're habitual and they're self-imposed and they're frequent, well, maybe you might want to separate yourself from that person. But we use exactly the same mindset when it comes to the animals. Okay, when it comes to the trees, because I'm going to cover as much of this as I possibly can. Probably going to go long a little bit, but I think it's going to be helpful. So what do we do? I mean, we've talked about it ad nauseum. When it comes to the trees, y'all, there is no crutches. We're using a combination of probably 10 people out there, and chief among them, or not chief necessarily, but among them is Mark Shepard. If you don't know of his method, he wrote a book called Restoration Agriculture. Really good book down there on the shelf right now. Look, and I agree with him. He calls it sheer total utter neglect. It's called the stun method, but he's since changed it to strategic total utter neglect. And that's what he applies to his trees. To a certain extent, I'm with him. I will get you off and running. I will provide you mulch. And once again, I'll give you the compost extract because I know what it's doing, not only for that tree, but all the soil life around it. I'm going to give you those basic things. I'm going to also give a tree plenty of nitrogen fixtures to harbor all those wonderful insects that are going to help protect that tree, and give you plenty of mulch in the form of comfrey and wood chips, as I've talked about before, and the guilds. Outside of that, I might do a little bit of pruning, if there are problems, But honestly, just like it says in the Bible, every good tree is, you know, you hewn it down. It's going to the ground, y'all. And I got one right now. I have one in all the trees we have out here, just one of them right now that appears to be a problem. And I'll hit it with the extract. And if it doesn't make it, then out you go. I know the environment you're in is good. So that's telling me you got other issues, but that goes back to that strategic total utter neglect. I'm not going to baby you. I'll do the minimum things you need. I'll put bone sauce on you to keep the sheep or to keep the deer away from you and the rabbits. I'll do that much. And then it's all on you, nephew. That's exactly how I work it with the trees. When it comes to our dogs, I mean, we give them eggs and organ meat. That's what they eat. You know, we produce more eggs than we can necessarily eat. And then there might be some kibble from time, or Michelle, I had them all on. When I was feeding them, they were basically eating eggs and guts. That's what the sled dogs eat. That's why I've started feeding them that way. What you'll notice when you feed your dogs that way is you're going to not notice their poop. I'm dead serious. If you give them that store-bought bag stuff, folks, I've done videos on this before. I've even talked about it. A number of people have actually adopted it. Is that we've noticed a big difference. Back when we did this years ago, I mean, I heard it from Dr. Joel Wallach, and then I started doing it years ago, back when we lived in Kansas. I mean, that's many moons ago. We started doing it then, and then you're finding out that there's no dog poop anywhere. It'll be there at first, but it actually breaks down. That stuff that they put in Purina or whatever it is they're feeding them, I don't know what happens to that stuff, but all I know is when you put them on an all egg and or you give them just a little bit of kibble, their poop does not stick around. It's not just going to be there. It's not going to be a landmine you walk in a month from now. It disappears. I'm dead serious, y'all. It breaks down. So that's one of the reasons we did it. Also, it's a byproduct of the animals we process. Y'all, I ain't eating guts, man. I know a lot of people are into that thing. You go to somebody's butchery and they want to cook a hog's head. Man, I'm not down for any of that. I've eaten. If you knew how I grew up, y'all, that was the only meat I ate until I was 10 years old was guts. We never ate meat. All we ate was liver, gizzards, guts. I'm dead serious, y'all. That's how we grew up. I guess that's the way you're going to grow up when you got six boys being raised by a single widowed grandmother. And so to this day, y'all, I am no fan of organ meats. So I will fast. I will not be disrespectful, but I'll fast if you have it over your house because I just don't choose to partake. I've eaten a lifetime of it as far as I'm concerned. Now, the only other thing that we'll do for dogs that I'm aware of, unless Michelle's adding something else, is she'll give them vitamins and minerals from time to time, but honestly, tick treatment. And that's about it. As far as worms or anything else, I don't believe outside of some diatomaceous earth, which we might give from time to time, I don't think there's anything else unless she's slipping it in on me. Okay, chickens. Folks, I want you to pay attention to this. Okay, well, let me say it this way first. For chickens, one of our primary means of keeping them healthy is first of all, moving them frequently. If you got a dust bath, you know, they're going to love that. Rosemary. That's one of the things that we grow in the guilds around our trees. Rosemary is a really, really good solution there. Dust bath. Obviously, folks, I will tell you right now that in the chicken tractor on steroids. Oh, also, what is it? Kelp. We give them kelp on demand. But I will say this, in the chicken tractor on steroid system, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can find it on our YouTube channel. There's playlists over it. Chickens require nothing. I am dead serious. Jeff Lawton is a flipping genius. You can go ahead and provide all those things if you want. Dust bath, all the rest of it, you're going to find out they're dusting themselves in your compost piles. You're going to find out that they're eating a better protein than you could ever even dream of buying. I'm dead serious. In that system, they required nothing. And we give all these animals copious amounts of comfrey. Dead serious. I mean, you name it here, except for the bees, of course. Trees eat comfrey. The dogs, believe it or not, they will. If you put comfrey in a bucket and put water in it, they'll actually drink that over the regular water. Chickens get a bunch of comfrey. The sheep, Michelle just got finished giving them an armful just a minute ago when she was out there doing her thing. But yeah, in that chicken tractor on steroid system, I just don't have time to do it right now, but if I did and had the manpower, folks, I'm telling you, they require nothing. No disease, no nothing, no problems. never, ever, ever saw a single problem in that system. And they required almost nothing. They acquired everything from those compost piles. How cool is that? All right, so sheep. Now, that's a little bit different when you get into the ruminants. So if you don't already have soil that is like perfect, you're going to need to supplement in some sort of mineral or, you know, or minerals. We use Redmond salt. Michelle has this little, I think she takes like a cup of it every other day and sticks it in the water in a bag. And it dissolves. And I kid you not, those sheep will drink that thing plumb to the bottom. And that's what we give them. Any other ruminants we had out here done the same thing. So they get Redmond salt water in addition to the regular water. So they have kind of a free choice on that one. High-end minerals, that's another end we've, that's another thing we've done, you know, in particular the sheep. Now, the reason being is that as they, now going back to the compost extract and good grazing, when they're eating those minerals, obviously they're going to poop. And then those minerals will be, they may be minerals that don't currently exist at your place, but they are going into your soil. So when that happens in time, in enough time, they will bioaccumulate into the leaves of the things they're eating. So they need less of it. We're already seeing parts of that right now. So that's what we provide right now. But the goal is to get to the point where we have such soil life here that every and anything these animals need is provided right there. But look, it ain't going to happen if you're using dewormer. It ain't going to happen if you're overgrazing. And that is one of the biggest things concerning homesteaders where it's the number one problem, and that's overgrazing. Because you're never going to recover. You're, no matter how much compost extract you put out there, because people have hit me up about it. And I'm like, dude, if you don't have your grazing practices on point, this ain't helping you. I mean, you're just going to go right back to square one. It's not a panacea. So you got to be really worried about that kind of stuff. So the idea is ultimately you get the land to the point where they need very, very little. And we have done experiments with only comfrey on pigs and sheep. Why we didn't record that, I do not know. But comfrey is a dynamic accumulator, in addition to a great many other things. We fed pigs nothing but comfrey. I'll get to them in a minute as far as what we go about doing with those. But the high-end minerals and stuff like that, with pigs and stuff like that, we don't even mess with it. It's just they get charcoal or biochar, rather. Well, it's biochar when it comes out the other end of them because it is charged after it goes through their digestive tract. So they get biochar and comfrey, and we've done the experiment with nothing but comfrey on sheep and pigs, and it worked. So folks, that's another reason why you should be growing a ton of this stuff. You can put it back as hay, you know, all the minerals in it, it bioaccumulates all that stuff, and you can have it deposited right there in the leaves, make hay out of it like we do. We'll grab tons of it. And throughout the winter and stuff, we'll be giving them comfrey hay. I mean, they're small bales, but we make it. We absolutely do it. In addition to a number of other things, whether it's tree hay or stuff like that, you know, that we can put back. But these animals will absolutely positively go with it. And like I said, pigs, nothing more that I could recall than comfrey and charcoal. Now, I will say that last batch of pigs, it was like at the height of COVID, you couldn't find a pig anywhere. And we went to these folks out in eastern North Carolina, and it was the only stuff we could find. Those pigs were riddled with all kinds of worms. So we left them in the barn, and we chased all the worms out of them. Then they started to put on weight. And I'll be honest with you, in that case, I did use ivermectin, but I knew it was a very isolated spot. I'm going to leave them here. And the area I'm growing, where I have them running, is in a place that is so decimated that the damage was worth the effort. So there's going to be those extreme cases. Now, in the future, am I going to buy pigs? I mean, first of all, a lot of pig operations are already just nasty to begin with anyway. So it helps if you know them. And it helps also if you have a breed like a guinea hog or something like that, that really is pretty parasite resistant. And some of the other varieties as well. But you can honestly chase a lot of that out of them just using that charcoal. And it is not uncommon for two pigs to go through a 5-gallon bucket of charcoal. I'm dead serious, in one sitting. And is dragging all that stuff out of them. And the comfrey certainly helps as well. Now, and I will say that when we put comfrey out there, we did an experiment. I think, I'm pretty sure we did a video on that. The pigs ate the comfrey before they ate their regular food. So it's like they know what's best for them. They know what they're going to eat the regular food, but they're going to start with the comfrey. All right. So folks, hopefully that was a help to you. it's really something I should have done for a while back. But yeah, that's how we roll. So cut and paste whatever it is that's helpful to you, and discard the rest as always. So let's get into your questions, emails, and comments and stuff like that. Sorry if I don't get to all of them, folks. I get to as many as I can. And, if I don't respond on another note, it's because I didn't receive it. Same sort of phenomenon seems to be happening over on Patreon as well. So for some reason, a lot of people aren't getting the responses to some of this stuff. All right. So you mentioned, this one here is from Jill. You mentioned pick Himalayan salt is good for hydration in the last show. When I was pregnant last year, my midwife told me coconut water is actually the perfect electrolyte replenisher. It's pure form and no sugar added, and it can be used in an IV solution. Wow, that's really awesome. Also, apparently, some native tribes were able to live without salt completely. I know specifically of the Wayanori people in South America. They had a diet of zero salt and were healthy. Missionaries were sent there, flown in, and they had to be flown back to get salt periodically just to survive. But somehow these people have adapted to be without it. So, I kind of mentioned that before in the last time, some of the native tribes that weren't anywhere near salt, it always made me wonder, well, how are they doing it, man? There's got to be some other way, or you can definitely be adapted to it. All right. So Catherine says, I received my 4 ounce jar of bone sauce, and I haven't opened it yet. I have some beef tallow ready to cut it with. I plan to paint it on about 10 steaks around my garden. I'm just wondering about mixing it. Do I use a small amount of it or equally mix it with the tallow? And how long will it keep? All right, so bone sauce, once you stick it out there, y'all, you don't have to worry about it keeping forever at all. I mean, it'll stay on there as long as whatever is alive. Now, how effective it will be, in some cases, it could be up to 30 years. In other cases, depending on your pressure with deer, you may have to put it on a couple of times a year. So take the unused portion of it. If you can, stick it in the freezer or in the fridge, and you will notice over time in the freezer, you'll notice mold grow on the very top of it. Just scrape that stuff off and keep driving on. So that's the way to store that stuff. And as far as mixing it, I don't cut it with anything. Folks, from Sepp Holter's recipe, I'm producing something that's probably 5 to 10 times stronger. And in so many different ways. I mean, this stuff is turbocharged. If you want to cut it, he recommends 50% equal amounts with beef tallow. I don't cut it with anything. I am not cutting this stuff with anything. You can stretch it that way, I guess, but I just don't do it. It's up to you, though, but that's what's been recommended in the past. So, good luck with that, and thank you for your business and everybody else that's purchased from us. Another one says, let's see here. This is coming from Courtney. Does bone sauce work to keep squirrels away from nut trees? Man, I've been asked that question a lot, and I'll cover it again. So we've had mixed results regarding squirrels. Some people, apparently they're using in the newer vehicles, they have, they're using some kind of, I don't know what it is they're using on the wiring, but apparently it's very attractive to squirrels. Apparently it's a very, very stupid thing they did, and people are having their squirrels are tearing this stuff out. A good friend of mine from the Army, I actually sent him some having that same problem on this truck up there in Nebraska. And I haven't heard back whether or not it worked, but I've heard from other people saying it did work. Some said it didn't. So that jury's out on that one, y'all. I don't know how well it works on squirrels. I haven't used it for that application personally, and the people I sent it to have never gotten back with me, so I'm not exactly sure how to answer that. So got one here from Zach. Man, this put a smile on my face. He said, we bought 10 cuttings from you guys in August 2022. We have since propagated and have well over 100 plants thriving, y'all. How about that? We were able to propagate on a monthly basis at this point. I remember stumbling on your channel and thinking, who is this goof? And how much you talked about comfrey. I'm the goof now. He says, we feed our chickens, pigs, and sheep all with comfrey. We boost our compost with it and freeze dry for salves. I appreciate your content as always from Southern Illinois, Zach. Man, that put a smile on my face because he's doing exactly what I wish so many other people would do. Folks, truth is, I'm trying to put myself out of business. Yeah, stupid business model, right? Well, we have other forms of income and we live a low consumption lifestyle. So the loss of any one thing doesn't really, it's not the end of us that way. And that's the way we set up our businesses, like our permaculture systems. We live a low consumption lifestyle. And, you know, we can survive on very little. So with that said, Zach is doing exactly what I hope all of you go out there and do. You buy it from us once, you're never going to buy it again. All you need is one plant to come up. You can divide one mature plant and get 100 new ones out of just one plant, y'all. It's that extraordinary. And all the things you can feed with it, every single thing on your homestead is going to eat it. It's higher in protein than anything else out there. The only plant that can grow B12, you can use it for, I mean, back in the Civil War, they called it knit bone because they would literally fix broken bones with poultices of comfrey. I mean, he's doing exactly what we should all be doing. Propagate this stuff, y'all. Give it away. Sell it. I don't care what you got to do. Make it to where it's so ubiquitous that it can't be sold. Where you actually sell somebody, yeah, I got comfrey for sale. And they say, yeah, whatever. It's growing everywhere. Folks, I've even taken that, even planting this stuff, even on the side of the highways and stuff when I had a chance. So it can be done. You can guerrilla garden this stuff someplace. It's actually a beautiful thing. Bees love it. Your pollinators all the way around, they absolutely love this stuff. And the comfrey honey that we've produced, y'all, it will knock your socks off. And maybe that's the product I'll replace the comfrey sales with when everybody out there, when it gets to the point where I can't even sell it anymore. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, stay alert, stay alive.
Always catches the worm. Now I gotta get up in the morning. Gotta make up for the best of mother. Gotta find me a love.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.